Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace.
I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with my colleague, Mariel Chirino. Mariel is our office manager at Locati.
Hi, everyone. Today is a premiere at our podcast because for the first time ever, I'm recording with someone together in a room.
Yes.
Yes, with my colleague Mariel, who actually helped fitting out this room because she is our office manager. So today we'll go a little bit into how she's doing the Locati office experience and what her learnings and journey has been. Let's start with the beginning, as we usually do. Hi, Mariel. Thanks for coming on.
So thanks, Sabine. Thanks for having me. I think it is really great to be here next to you in the same room.
Yes.
A nice experience.
Yeah, I said what you do at Locati. Maybe you can add a little bit of like, what have you done before Locati? What is your professional background, actually?
I graduated as an architect in Mexico, where I'm originally from. And well, my professional career started, I would say, more towards the civil engineering area. So I was working for a precast concrete company in Mexico, very well known there. It is called CEPSA. And I joined the operations team at the beginning. I had the opportunity to work in the headquarters there in a very nice office as well. But then I also had the opportunity to join the product innovation department. And there I had the opportunity also to work on site. You know that there are these temporary offices that just fit near to the construction site.
That are like in these container buildings.
Exactly. So it was another nice experience, but I have to say that it is really nice, you know, to go every day to a nice office to create and to have, to live nice experiences there, to have a nice coffee, to talk with your colleagues and etc. So yeah. And well, after that, I decided to continue with my studies. So I went to Barcelona. I completed a master's degree in construction management. Then I did a second one in residential architecture and sustainability. And it was also a great experience there. And I'm sure that you have been there, but Barcelona is a great city. So I decided to stay a bit more. And I started working in a residential real estate firm. I joined the sales and renting listing department. It was also a nice experience. It was more about to run, you know, like this comparative market analysis to price the properties, visiting the properties, analyzing everything was in there. I have to say that it was a very nice experience as well. And in parallel, I also worked for this company as well in some home staging projects. This was a very well technique in Barcelona. I'm not sure if this is still like this, but back in the day, it was like this. It was about to make the properties a bit more attractive for the people that were visiting them. Of course, they have the wish to buy them or to rent them. So it was also a very nice job. And I'm mentioning this because I think it's pretty similar what I'm doing right now here at Locati, that I'm trying to figure out the feeling of the people, what are their thoughts about the office, to, you know, this office experience and trying to find out the new employee needs, the work behavior. So I have to say that it's quite similar. So in a different branch, but yeah, in the end, it is the same. Try to understand what the people.
It does seem you've worked across a couple of real estate branches. Did you know about corporate real estate in the world of prop tech before you joined Locati?
I would say no, because even though they are like, they can have some similarities between them, they are targeting like different purposes and different customers. So I would say it is like playing in different leagues. So it is completely different. So no, I discovered the corporate real estate world once I joined Locati, once I tried to understand the tool, the customer feedback. This was new to me.
So that was also how you went about understanding the profession, like learning on the job and listening to what customers had to say?
Yes, because I joined Lokiti as a CAD designer first. So I joined the operations team. Basically, my job was a technical drawing. So helping to prepare the floor plans from our customers in order to be ready and to be uploaded into Lokiti Analytics and displayed there. So it was more about a technical job as well than talking to the customers.
And then eventually you got to help pick the Lokiti office actually and do the first fit out.
Yes, exactly. So I remember when I joined Lokiti, we were only 13 people in the team. We were working in a co-working space. And at some point, I would say when we reached the 20 people, more or less, the leadership team just considered appropriate to find our own space where we can print, you know, the Lokiti spirit and really create community. And yeah, that's why they look for a very nice place.
Maybe taking a little bit before we dive into the details, was there a big learning or surprise for you in this new experience of actually creating an office?
Well, yes, because it was a project to create an office from scratch. Everything was empty, so we didn't have a desk. Mm-hmm. So it was also to create a budget, you know, to align our goals or the office purpose to the company goals as well. So it was a very nice project, but it was also a bit of a surprise on how many things you need to consider in order to get a building up and running. So a lot of interfaces, a lot of stakeholders, a lot of teams interacting as well. So it was before the pandemic started. And I have to say that now, after pandemic, there are even more teams involved. Now I'm in close contact with HR, for example. They are doing a great job in the community building. I'm in close contact with the IT support. They helped us a lot in order to adapt our office to support and looking for different conferencing systems and different setups for this to be happened. So I'm in close contact with the facility managers because there is also a lot of things regarding maintenance about an office. We have a lot of different suppliers. If we want to create an office that really offers a different experience, you also need to contact like different people that can help you to create, to enable this place to create different experiences. It is not only desks and chairs anymore. So yeah, you need to find like different people that can help you to enable this place. So it was a very nice adventure. Honestly, it was a challenge for me because it was the first time that I did it. But I think, well, you can say it to me, but I think we did a good job. And at the beginning, we were only 20 people, so it was not too difficult. Yeah, right now, the team is growing really fast. And right now, we are about 70 people in the team. And I would say around 60 people based in Zurich. So yeah, this is another challenge. Now we need to adapt the office with a capacity of 60 people.
That was actually one of my next questions. And it's kind of because I was part of the journey. I know a bit, but maybe I don't know, you know, maybe it's just what I perceived and it's all wrong, because I would have wanted to ask, like, how did you initially start planning office capacity? Because you said we were 20, but already back then we knew we would grow. So what was the capacity that you planned with? And I can say now as well, today we are, as you said, around 60, maybe 65 people assigned to this office location, but we don't have 65 desks. We have a quite high sharing ratio. So obviously capacity planning has changed.
Yes. So actually I have to say that this is a very good question because, yeah, although it seems that being a small company, the capacity planning could be much easier. But I have to say that when you talk about capacity, the same questions arise if you're working in a big corporation, because everything is related about, do we have enough space? Do we have enough desks? Do we have enough meeting rooms? And not only these. So it is also related to the space types. You need to find this balance between space types. You need to know your team, you know, so that regardless if you have a big or a small portfolio, that you have the same questions and you want to answer the same questions. And of course, you need help to answer these questions. So at the beginning, yes, we faced also this big challenge because at the beginning of the, before the pandemic started, we were around 30 people. After the pandemic, now we are 60 people. So, you know, we experienced this rapidly grow in staff during the pandemic time. So it was uncertain times, you don't know what to do, you don't know what the future of the office will be. So it was kind of a challenge. At the beginning, we faced this contradiction. What should we do? We know that our team is growing fast. And soon, if we keep the way that we were working before, 4 days from the office and one day with the possibility of working from home, definitely we would need soon to add more desks to the office space. But on the other side, we were not sure when the pandemic will be over and what the behavior of the people will be, the new work preferences, you know, the new ways of work. So it was a bit of a challenge. Should we add more desks right now and just be prepared for once everything is over, or should we wait? And I think the smart decision was to wait, because as I think everyone did. And right now that we are 1 month ago, the restrictions here in Zurich lifted. So then, yeah, we have the opportunity to start gathering data, you know, to collect employee feedback again, to try to understand, put all together and try to understand what is happening.
What is the new demand from us?
Yeah, what is the new demand and the new needs, you know, as an employee, as an individual as well. So I also think that it is not only that the office management needs time to think and to gather data. It is also about you as an individual, because it is also a new experience for you. And you need to find the schedule that fits better to you. So maybe at the beginning, I was coming to the office maybe 3 days per week because I want to go back to the routine, you know, but then I just realized that the things were different and maybe it is not worth it.
Yeah.
You know, so, and now I'm coming only 2 days, or for some people, maybe it is the other way around. Also, people need time to really find out how they can find this balance between private life, private time, and also office time. So yes, in this month, we are doing this. We are trying to gathering data from feedback, from Locati Analytics, because this time we are also using our own tool in order to understand what is happening. And I think this is really important.
Yeah, I agree. There's two things that you said. One is repeating thing. It's like that things need to unfold now that we're finally allowed to go back and a bigger scale return to the office seems possible. It's the time to wait and see what happens. And then the other thing that I think has become really difficult for office managers is that the decision to go to the office or not for an individual employee, it's not necessarily a decision for or against the office, but it is more a private decision of like, what's my plan for the day? Where do I need to be after work? Is there something I need to do over lunch? Is there a delivery coming that I need to be there for? If on a given day, I'm not coming to the office, this doesn't mean I don't like the office. It's just that this day, something else is the more practical or reasonable choice for me. And it's something that's very hard to grasp for you because that's kind of private, right?
Yeah, but this is something that we need to understand and we need to learn, you know,
yeah,
again.
And ask, basically.
And ask, basically. Yeah. And, you know, not take it personally. So the office is not because you don't like the office. It is because you need to find your own schedule again.
Yes.
So I think this is also something that I, as an office manager, need to understand and need to learn. It is not something against the office. The office is here to work as a home base. This is our touch point.
Yeah.
And here is where we can create experiences. But of course, we need people to create these experiences. So I think we also need to think not only as an individual. I have something to do at home. I have something to do. So also as a community, I go to the office because I want to create a new experience for me, but I can also contribute with an experience for another people, also to my team, to my company. So I think this is also something that employees need to think about. So it is not only because it is convenient to me. You know, you also need to cooperate with the rest of the team in order to create this community. Otherwise, you could have the most incredible office. But if there are no people, that create these experiences, it will not work, definitely.
It's like if you have a fun theme park and there's nobody around, it's like, well, you would feel weird as a visitor. It's actually, again, drawing on retail experience, oftentimes if a shop's empty, I don't feel super comfortable going in because I know a salesperson will probably talk to me and ask me what I want to have. And I'm like, I'm just actually just looking, you know, I'm not sure I want to shop anything.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, yes, then you might end up not going because you're like, nah, I don't want to be talked to right now.
Exactly.
Just browse.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about what's in the office. So since requirements have changed over the pandemic, because we did, I don't think we've said it explicitly, we've moved to a fully flexible work mode where everybody gets to decide if they want to be in the office or not on any given day. And there is no rules on how many days you need to be any place. Basically, you can decide, which leads to, naturally, meetings being hybrid. So people being on site and people being at home with new requirements for meeting equipment. You said that. What have we added in terms of technology and tools and also processes around things? I know we have, for example, some bookable meeting rooms and others are non-bookable. And actually, I think just recently we added some to be bookable that I just learned yesterday, actually.
So if you have a meeting, we also implemented here and it's like a lounge area where we can just host interdisciplinary activities here. And yeah, now you can book this room and you can also use the new audio and video setup there that we have prepared exactly for this reason. Every Thursday, we have a big meeting with the whole team and not everyone is in the office. So 70 people just joining, you know, the same meeting. So yeah, that's why we enable this space also to support this hybrid work mode and these big sessions. And I think it worked quite well.
Yeah. With anything, it's always like a learning curve. It's like, which button do I need to push? How does the mic work? Because it's actually this cube, this one, right?
That
you
like
throw around.
Week.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's a bit like in kindergarten.
Yes. And at the beginning, the people is a bit shy, you know? But come on, just lay around and yeah, try to make use of the things that we are implementing at the office. So don't be afraid to use it and to ask.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So to ask, I don't know how to use it. Oh, yeah. Please help.
That's actually a great point because I've mentioned it before in the podcast that one possibility to give you feedback is these QR codes that we have everywhere. But obviously, I could just send you a message as well, right?
Yes, exactly. Because I think this is also a good thing if you are not a big community. Did you have, you know, this very close contact with the office manager and you can just say, you know, hey, Mario, I have this feedback or new ideas, or I don't know, this is not working as well. So yeah, I think this is also a good thing. So going back to your question, so we have implemented different solutions to support this hybrid work mode. As you mentioned here, we have a new audio setup in this lounge area for these big meetings. But during the pandemic time, we also added to the meeting rooms, like different systems in order to host these hybrid meetings. We also opened different channels to gather feedback, you know, and to hear from the people, their needs and what the experience in the office is.
You've said it since a month, we can be back in the office, but until here, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride. Well, I'm assuming more so for you than for me, because regulations and what needed to be abided by in the office has changed a lot, like how many people can be there. Did you need to wear a mask? Do you need to sanitize every day, every hour or so on? How did you manage and feel with the rules and guidelines constantly changing?
Well, definitely it was like a difficult time because you were not sure what to do. But in the end, we gave priority to protect our people. So first thing that we do, we adapted the layout in our office in order to meet this government regulations. So now we have a distance, this minimum social distance between desks, and we also reduce the capacity in the meeting rooms. So, yep, we also enabled temporary booking system in order to not exceed this maximum capacity set on the different times. Sometimes we only had like 50% I don't know, 70%. So it was different every time. And we're still not sure. Right now, we are full capacity. We have capacity of 30 desks. Another thing that we implemented was communication channels. So we have created a specific channel in our internal chat for office topics. And we also have this initiative. We have a different code for each workspace, also each desk. So the employees can just use their smartphone every time that they have an idea. They think they know that something is not working or they want to communicate something to the office manager, and they can just scan the QR code and submit their feedback. What I think this is very good, because here that we also have the option to say, okay, Mario, you know, is submitting this feedback, but it could be also anonymous. And I have to say that before we had implemented these QR codes, people was a bit afraid to say something because, you know, it was like a direct message to me. And right now that you can also do it anonymously and just say, Mario, this is not working. Hey, this is not working. I'm receiving more feedback.
That's
before.
Interesting.
Yes.
Because all of us sign best, Sabina.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is also a good thing, you know, that the people that can feel a bit more free to say and to speak loud. So I think this is also a good thing. Yeah. So basically, it was difficult times, but of course, we have a great team. And we work all together and we know that they needed to follow some rules, etc. And in the end, everything went fine.
Yeah.
And worked well.
Yeah. Maybe something to note for everybody interested in desk booking tools, because I know they're still a hot topic. The tool that Marielle mentioned is basically a spreadsheet.
Yes.
Where we enter our names if we want to come. And we,
exactly.
Anyways, always had unassigned seating. So you just come and pick your desk. And that sheet is just to make sure
that we don't exceed.
That we don't exceed capacity and the limitations that were given by, well, the government points in time.
Exactly. I also had a look, you know, at the cleaning shifts, because then you need to reinforce everything. You need to disinfect. You need to do a lot of things. And also you need to talk again with this facility management or the cleaning crew, you know, in order to reschedule the shifts because the offices were closed completely. So it was, you know, like a roller coaster. But in the end, I think everything went well.
Yes. One thing, so we touched upon the employee feedback process. We have the possibility to enter like ad hoc feedback through QR code, direct messages, Slack channels. We also have biannually, right, the employee survey where we can give feedback as well. And I think we also did a dedicated survey before, well, the first return to office, the first wave of the pandemic, where you asked, well, you in an extended team, what people perceived their time at the office would be. I guess that was to look a bit like, okay, do we have the right capacity? If everybody says, oh, I'm going to be back every day of the week, then it probably would have created a problem. This has not happened. And I think I've had a look at the data, but already a year ago, so I need to do that again, maybe. Well, I definitely will do that again. What I perceived then was like the people overestimated the time they would spend in the office. So everybody said they would spend more days in the office than they actually turned out. I mean, it's anonymized, but still you saw the cohorts basically moving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I mentioned before, I think we also need to give time to the people.
Yeah.
To really find out, you know.
Yes. And then another thing is like, so we're now sitting in this studio room, and well, our team has majorly influenced the look and feel of this, I would say. But do you look at the office and the design of things differently in the meantime than from the beginning? Or is it still the same?
So the office design remains the same, I would say. And the plan now is now that people has the opportunity to come to the office again, and that we can again collect this feedback and collect their inputs. We can put all together and work on new initiatives. So the plan would be to implement like up to 3 initiatives per quarter, and then give some time for the people to test them, to use them. And at the end of these 3 months, just collect feedback again and say, okay, it is working. or maybe we need to rethink the concept because it is not working as we thought will, or maybe we can just disestimate this idea because, you know, it doesn't or doesn't make sense to have it like this, or for the people, you know, was not where they were looking for. So I think this is the plan now. This is, I would say, like a learning time also for us. What we are going to do is to test and learn, and then make decisions on that. If this is working, if this is well accepted for the people, then we can continue doing it and maybe upgrading it, you know? Yeah. And yeah, so I think this is, again, a teamwork. So we are going to propose new things based on the feedback, on the data collected. And from here, we can start making decisions. So through this feedback, the QR codes, for example, I received also like a specific, I don't know, requests from different teams. For example, this room, you know, for example, product.
I didn't know that that came through the QR code.
Well, not really, but yes. So, yes, it was also a very nice request from the product team that why not to also implement and start using our own product here at the office and make it visible for the team, you know, in order to also to gain confidence in the product. So right now we also implemented here. We have like this screen, these screens that we are using with the meeting room finder. So it is not only to adapt the space according to the new normality, you know, it is also to keep proposing new things, new initiatives in order to make and to create a different experience here at the office. So it is not only about layout. It is not only about hospitality. It is not only about amenities. It is not only about... So it is also about these different initiatives from the different teams that they want also to make visible their work here at the office. And I think this is also a great thing that we can use our office as our own lab where we can test and we can get some conclusions.
Yeah.
So I think this is also a very good idea.
Yeah. Now I have to say, we're diving deeper into data now than we have before. And it's been really interesting to see. I think we looked at was team data lately as well. Like what are the patterns of usage of different teams? And then the more, I want to say funny, interesting part is then like connecting that with like, why is that? So let's say our team, for example, had their highest occupancy on a Wednesday. And the reason for that being that usually after we had our team retrospective, there was drinks. So people came for that. And that's actually a nice segue into a question that I had. So from your, because you're getting all the feedback, do you see certain drivers of employee engagement in the workplace or like themes that are emerging kind of? Other than people like party and drinks?
So I would say transparency, open communication.
Yeah.
And what else? Flexibility. My next point would be community building. And I would say that here the office, you know, served this purpose. So to be this home base where people can come, get together, you know, and create these interactions and this collaboration. So the office is part of this community building, I would say.
Yeah. And I can actually say we're going to use the office space for our team building day on Friday. It is our home base. We like to come here.
Yes.
We're using it for these off-site activities as well. The off-site's the new on-site, something that
exactly. And this is just the main goal of the office now that can serve like different purposes. Not only, you know, come every day from 8 to 5 to work on a desk and use the meeting rooms.
Yeah.
So it is also to, you know, to create this serendipity moment. Serendipity, you know, it's like, yeah, to be more flexible also in the way that you use the office.
Yeah.
I think this is the main goal.
What I wanted to side note as well is like, this is not the most beautiful building in the world. From the outside, definitely not. Our space is quite nicely done, but similar to any other office, there is a dark carpet on the ground. There's white metal tile ceiling. There are a couple of corporate identity coloring highlights like with any other
yes.
company. So it's a space like any other, but it does feel like our home. As you said,
yeah, it's our home. And little by little, you know, we are just tailoring our office.
Yes.
you know, to our own needs, our own preferences as well. So yeah, I think you have to remember that we are a startup as well. We started with 20 people. Our budget at that time was not too big. And I can say that we did a very good job, you know.
Yeah, I remember things happened in stages as well. At the beginning, we didn't have plants. And then when the plants came, people were like, oh my God, this is so beautiful. So you appreciated these
so
things.
So this
as
is
well.
Also a good thing to be a small team still and to have a small office, because you see changes every time, you know. So, and you can plan different things. There are not so many bureaucracies. So then changes just come and, you know, you can try different things and you can say, okay, no, better to do it like this, better to do it like this. So this is working, this is not working. So I think this is also a very good part of my job and a very nice part of my job that I can really plan, I can really propose, you know. And yeah, I think next steps are work on the layout, of course, find this balance between space types, also prepare the office to have this external external events, you know, and have everything prepared for
Again, it's about flexibility in the space as well, because I've read an article as well where they said you can't have it all. You can't have the yoga room and the spa room and the whatever room, because then you need to create an crazy big space budget that you need to pay rent for, although the spaces will only get used occasionally, maybe every week, but still only maybe one day a week. And then that's a waste of a resource as well and not sustainable. So you need to make the rooms adaptable in a way so that if there are no meetings, it can be the yoga room as well, for example.
And also every team can give just a name to the different rooms. So for you, for example, this is the podcast room, but for the rest of the team, this is the Hearst Tower. So it is a meeting.
Oh, I didn't know it had an official name.
So, you know, So okay, also it depends on the team.
Okay, it's the Hearst Tower room. I didn't know. For me, it's the studio room. And before that, we said like the glass room.
The glass room and the guitar room. So it has like different names because this was at the beginning, this was not an official meeting room.
Yeah.
So yes.
I have a last question. It's something that I ask everybody. It's like, if you could magically solve any workplace problem, what would it be?
This is a difficult one. I think I'm not going to be so creative here. And so, yes. But yeah, I really would like that the office concept change in a way that it not only corresponds to the people that is planning the space to enable an area where you can offer experiences. So also, I would like that the offices, the concept of the office is taken by the employees as a place where I can, as I said before, where I can create new experiences that are going to give some positive things for me as well. And then I can contribute to the community. So I think it is not only the space and it not should be only the responsibility of create a place that can offer new experiences to the employees. I think the employees also need to be or to feel part of this team and involved in this new project, you know, in this new office concept, because in the end, they are the actors of this movie. I only prepare the set, but the action is performed by the people that is using the space. So also that for them, it's like I'm contributing to this teamwork in order to create experiences at the office. The offices are not only that they don't take it as something that because it's given to you. It is also because you see something positive there also for yourself. So as an office manager, I always try to give my best for the people to feel good, to find a great place to work. And I would like also that the people think that they can also contribute to the office in order to create nice experiences for the rest of the people.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what we're going to do now, because I do have an office layout suggestion that I wanted to talk to you about. Let's stop it here. Thank you, Marielle, for coming on.
No, thanks, Sabine, for sharing. Having me. Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there's more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We've just released the Definitive Guide to Workplace Analytics, for instance. Or tune into our next episode of the Workplace Leader.